I wish that all those calamities, translation by Srila Prabhupada and purport by Srila Prabhupada, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and deaths. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada in his purport says that generally the distressed, the needy, the intelligent and the inquisitive who have performed some pious activities, worship or being, begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nuisance, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with the place where there is danger in every step. This material world is clarified, certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of a sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of a dream. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the nine devotional services is always forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namah. What can I say about Mother Kunti? When I read about her, especially this verse, actually shook me. Because no one in the history of mankind, which I know of, have asked for Mother Kunti is asking. Can we imagine? asking for more calamities, more vipada, and again and again. What sort of personality is Mother Kunti? We cannot even comprehend, can we? Here in material world, we are all thriving or seeking happiness. Is here or anywhere in the universe, I would say, anybody who wants problems in their lives? We have a little headache and we run to take medication, and we must tell somebody that I've got a headache. We broadcast our problems to the world. And what are we doing by that? We are seeking the sympathy. Whereas here, Mother Kunti, who has gone through so many calamities that we cannot even comprehend, yet, instead of going to anybody else, she goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what does she do? She's asking for more. And actually, this really shook me when I was reading this. About Queen Kunti, I remember in 80, maybe 81, we had just joined ISKCON and we were very new. But I used to work, and at my workplace, we used to employ youngsters, college boys and girls, during the summertime. And this particular time, one boy came. I have never forgotten his name. His name was Graham, and he sat right opposite me, and he used to swear constantly, and I was fed up of his swearing. So we made a deal that every word, every time you swear, you put 50 pence in this little box. So in a week, all his money was gone in that box. So I asked him that, what would you like to do with this money? Shall I take it and take it to the temple, or you promise me that you will not swear? And he promised that he will not swear. But it took him a while. And a few days later, he came after lunch, and he was really smelling badly. So I said, you've eaten eggs. And he said, how did you know? So I said, you smell horrible. And when I explained to him about the consequences of eating meat, fish, eggs, he gave up. And just before he was leaving, there was Rath Yatra. So I invited him that come to London and you'll see what it means to be spiritual, because he was always taunting me. But he came. I didn't see him then. But on Monday, when he came back to work, he came back with a book. And he said, this book is for you. I have paid £5. And he had written, you owe me £5. And that book was The Teachings of Queen Kunti. And I have still got that book. I still very fondly remember him. I have never seen him again, but he gave me that book. And when I started reading, I did not understand why Mother Kunti was asking for calamities. And I used to think, I took it very lightly. That asking for trouble, it doesn't comprehend. It never comprehend in my mind. But as the years go by, and you have association with devotees, listening to so many classes, you come to realize that what actually it means. So Mother Kunti is a very unique personality in Mahabharata. or in the creation, I would like to say, because nobody is asked what she is asking. I would like to shed some light on her life. Who was Mother Kunti in relation to Krishna? She was his aunt, Vasudev's sister. So she was the auntie of Krishna. But her life, from the very beginning, was based on sacrifice. The level of sacrifice Mother Kunti went through, none of us can imagine. From a very young age, she's daughter of Sursen and sister of Vasudev. But her father gave her on adoption to his cousin, Kunti Bhoj. I mean, can we imagine a young child is being adopted by uncle? If it was in today's terms, that child would grow up and will have all sorts of mental problems. Depression, anxiety, self-harm, suicidal thoughts. Isn't it? We hear this so many times in my working time, when I was working in mental health. We had so many patients who would come and say, I want to know my parents. I was adopted. Why? Why my mother gave me up? So in today's time, in today's world, we call it abuse. But here, 5,000 years ago, Mother Kunti was adopted by her uncle, whose name was Kunti Bhoj. Prior to that, her name was Pritha. But because she was with Kunti Bhoj now, her name became Kunti. And she was assigned from a young age to look after the guests who came to the household. So if any guests came, Kunti would be there looking after them and looking after their needs. So one time, Durvasa Rishi came. And Durvasa Rishi is well known, being a partially incarnation of Lord Shiva. He's well known for his anger. And people used to run away because nobody could satisfy him. And anything went wrong, Durvasa Rishi was ready to curse. And in the history, we have realized and understood how many people Durvasa Rishi has cursed. He hasn't spared anybody. But here, Kunti Bhoj gave this duty to Kunti to look after Durvasa Rishi. And Mother Kunti, being a young girl, she did that job so perfectly that there was no fault in her service to this exalted personality who was at their house. But Durvasa Rishi, being Durvasa Rishi, wanted to test Kunti every now and then. So in the middle of the night, he would get up and say, and look out for Kunti. But Kunti was ready. She was not asleep. She would get up and ask Durvasa Rishi what he wanted. And Rishi would ask him to cook at that time, all sorts of things. But here, this little girl was so eager to serve. And in return, Durvasa Rishi gave her a boon. Sometimes we go through some difficulty while serving devotees, gurus, sadhus, and we feel it, this is just too much. But we have to just understand from Mother Kunti that how she served and what she got in return. Because Durvasa Rishi, being Trikalagya, knower of the future, knew what was coming. So he gave her a boon and a mantra, that with this mantra, you will be able to invite any demigod and you will be able to have a child by this demigod. And then Durvasa Rishi left. Being inquisitive at that young age, without thinking, without realizing of the consequences, Kunti evoked Suryadev, Viveshwan. He invited Viveshwan, and when Viveshwan appeared in front of her and told her that you will have a son, I cannot go without giving you a child, that this you have called me, so I have to give you something. And Kunti became very anxious that I'm not married. How can I have a child? All of a sudden she realized the danger that she's putting herself in. But Viveshwan, Suryadev, he promised her that your purity will not be disturbed. You will have a child that will be born through your ear. And that's why her first child, the name of her first child is Karna, because he was born from Karna. And he was born with all this full armor. But Kunti, due to the social impact, put the child in Mother Yamuna, and that child was raised by ordinary people. And then afterwards, when Kunti was married, when she grew up in the Swayamvar, she chose Pandu Raja, King Pandu, to get married to. When she got married, came home to Hastinapur, on the same day, within a short time, before they had chance to meet each other, King Pandu had to go to the war. So they had hardly spent any time together. And what a sacrifice, that here her husband is going to the war. Whether he would come back, he would not come back, there was no guarantee. So again, sacrifice of Kunti. But Pandu, King Pandu came back. And what did he come back with? He came back with Madri. While he was at war, he met other king, and then he married Madri. He brought Madri back. So there was another sacrifice, that now she has to share her husband with somebody. I mean, this was a well-known practice in Kshatriyas. And women would accept it. But being a woman myself, I can understand how difficult it would have been. But here Kunti accepted Madri with open arms and treated her like her younger sister. Then there was another calamity came when they went into the forest. King Pandu was cursed by this Rishi and his wife in the act of they were mating, and Pandu actually killed them, thinking that they were herons, and they were in the form of a heron, a deer. They took a form of a deer and they were enjoying themselves together. And without realizing who they were, Pandu killed them. Being a Kshatriya, he hunted them. And because of that, they cursed Pandu that if you ever came closer for intimate relationship with your wife or any woman, you will be dead. So following this, because of this, Pandu, King Pandu, left his kingdom, because in the kingdom, in the palace, the chances of him having these desires were more, because he would be surrounded by beautiful women, opulence, and he wanted to have a renounced mind that would not be agitated. And his wives went with him. While in jungle, while in the forest, they were taunted that they would never have children. So after discussion with Kunti, Kunti told Pandu Raja that, look, I have got this boon, I have got this mantra, and I can have children by demigods. And Pandu Raja was very excited, and she had three children. Shishi Radha Gokul Nanda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So she had Yudhisthira Maharaj from Yamaraj, Dharmaraj. And in time, Yudhisthira Maharaj became such a powerful king and such an exalted. And she had Bhima by Varundev. And then she had Arjun by Indradev. And when Pandu Raja asked for more children, Kunti said, no, I'm not going to have any more children. And she looked at Madri, and she felt that Madri should have a child. Pandu Raja instructed Kunti that Madri should have a child as well. And she gave her a mantra, but said that you can only use it once. You cannot use this mantra twice. And Madri then asked Ashwini Kumar. And from Ashwini Kumar, she had two sons, Sahadev and Nakul. So between Madri and Kunti had five sons. Again here, if we think of the sacrifice, in today's term, people would be jealous, people would be envious. But here Kunti was not envious of Madri. He gave her the boon. He gave her an opportunity to become a mother. So what a sacrifice Kunti had gone through. And when Pandu, King Pandu was dead, when he died, they both wanted to go with him on the pyre. But eventually it was decided that because King Pandu died because of Madri, he was attracted to Madri in that form. They decided that Madri would go with the king. And Kunti stayed behind looking after these five children. She became widow at very young age and was left with these five sons. If we can even imagine, it must be so hard for her to come back to Hastinapur. When she went, there were three. Her husband was there, so her shelter was there. Now she's coming back to Hastinapur. on the order of Dhritarashtra and Bhishma. And she's coming alone. Madri is not there, her husband's not there, but she's bringing these five sons. And as we all have heard over and over, how much hardship Pandavas went in under the hands of Dhritarashtra, Shakuni, Duryodhan, Kaurava. So many hardships. And in this sloka, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, in the beginning, she is establishing, in the first seven words, she's establishing the identity of Lord Krishna. That you are Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those glorification is really amazing, the way she's saying. Then, instead of going to anybody, she is telling Krishna that, O Madhusudan, O Gopinath, these are the calamities I have gone through. My children were put under so much trouble. Bhimsen was given poison when he was young. They were robbed of their kingdom. Her daughter-in-law was brought in the assembly of these exalted men, these powerful personalities like Bhishma, Drona, Kripacharya, Dhritarashtra. All of them were sitting there, and Draupadi was dragged into that assembly to derobe her. At that time, who was there to help? Who was there to be there, to hold the hand? Pandavas were not holding Draupadi's hand. They could not do it. Draupadi looked at Dhritarashtra. She looked at Bhishma. She looked at Dronacharya. She looked at Kripacharya. She looked at her most powerful husbands. But none of them could help her. Eventually, she went, Hari Bol, Hey Govind, I am at your mercy. My dignity is in your hands. And only you can help me. And Krishna came immediately. Mother Kunti, she listed all these calamities that she went through. They were going to be burnt in the forest. We cannot imagine how they were feeling with all this rejection. Being rejected by the very uncle who was supposed to be their well-wisher. In today's term, we cannot imagine, we cannot even think what it must feel like. Again, I would like to bring to in today's term, if something like that happened, if one-tenth of a part, if 10% of these calamities came on any individual, that individual would end up in a mental asylum, being depressed, being all sorts of problems. I mean, at the moment, there is an epidemic that in school, children are developing mental illness. And why is that? Is it any major calamities? Oh, my parents don't let me watch the TV. That's why I'm depressed. I haven't got a mobile phone. I haven't got all these gadgets. I haven't got new shoes. And that is the reason children as young as 10, 11 are becoming depressed. They are self-harming. And to my understanding, the reason is that these children have no knowledge of any religion, religiosity. They haven't got the knowledge of these stories. As a child, when I used to go to school, this is many, many moons ago, many, many years ago, in our school, in our curriculum, we used to had to learn Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita. All right, they were not as nice as today. They were not as glorified as we do today. But we had to learn. And from those stories, we used to learn how to let go of things in life, how to sacrifice in life. So it is really important that in today's time, the younger generation, younger children are taught the stories from Mahabharata, from Ramayana. And especially from personalities like Mother Kunti, Bhishma, and if we look in Ramayana, how did these four brothers were loving each other and willing to give up for each other? Their lives were full of sacrifice. So Queen Kunti is listing all this, but yet, after listing all that, she's asking Krishna, please give me more calamities. I want more. Why? Because now you are going away. You are going away to Dwarka. When our good times have come, and I am really worried that in my good times we will forget you. And isn't it in today's terms, isn't that the fact that as soon as good time comes, we forget Krishna. In bad times, people would come to the temple. I have seen being pujari in the evening, so many times people would come, sit here, and they would cry. Just cry in front of Krishna. And upon asking, they would reveal their calamities. But those very people, again I have experienced, not all the time, but from time to time, that when things get better, they go on holiday in Bahamas, in Hawaii, Las Vegas. So this is the makeup of material world. But all these calamities, what is the real calamity? What is Kunti saying here? That your darshan, if you go away, we will not be able to see you. And not being with Krishna, not being able to see Krishna is more dangerous. And why? Because apuna bhava, apuna janma. She didn't want it to come, take birth again and again. If I don't see you, that means I will have to come back. That means we will have to come back and take the darshan, take birth again and again. But being with you means if I see you near me, that is a guarantee that I will not take birth again. And this is for all of us. But in today's term, how can we put that in practice? Because we cannot see Krishna like Mother Kunti did. So how do we see Krishna in today's term if we want to get out of birth, death, old age and disease? What is the chance that we have? Here Srila Prabhupada has given us a prescription. Because we all are sick. Are we not? Yes, we all are sick. We are sick physically. We are sick mentally. The reason I'm saying mentally is because our mind is our worst enemy. Our mind is always on a want base. When we go shopping, do we buy things that we need? No, that is 10%. But we buy what we don't need. We buy what we want. So our mind is our worst enemy. And Srila Prabhupada, being so merciful, you know, being so merciful, he realized how sick we are. And he has given us a prescription. And do you know the medication of that name? That medication we can take any time of the day or night. Any time. There is no set rules. In Ayurvedic, there is always a clause that if you take this medication, you can't eat yogurt, you can't drink milk, you have to take it at a certain time of the day. There's so many ifs and buts and about it. But the medication that Srila Prabhupada has prescribed has got no boundary. And what is that medication? Can anybody tell me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the medication Srila Prabhupada has given. And Prabhupada has promised that if we take this medication religiously, what will happen? We will not have that birth, death, old age and disease. It might not happen immediately, but eventually it will. And when people are sick, and when we start taking medication, do we expect to be better on the same day? There is a process. We take the medication religiously, and that gradual process that goes, it purifies our body, and then we become free from disease. So our disease, which we are surrounded by these six, kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, ahankar, all these. So by taking this medicine religiously, but Srila Prabhupada has always also said that take this medication, but the thing you have to do is be in association of devotees for this medication to work effectively. So reading, chanting, and being in the association of devotees, this medication is guaranteed to work. And the gradual process would be that gradually we will be purified. And the time will come when Srila Prabhupada will himself come and say that, yes, you are eligible to come. Come back to Godhead. So here Mother Kunti is asking for more calamities. Why she doesn't want to come back again and again in this world? And we all should do that. We all should become so focused in our sadhana bhakti, in taking that medicine. And Krishna has said to Uddhav before leaving this material world, when Uddhav asked Krishna, that Krishna, you are leaving, how will we survive? How people in the world will live? How will they achieve you? You are not going to be here. We will become orphans. But Krishna said at that time that no, I am going, but I will reside in my name. So when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna dances on the devotee's tongue. Krishna appears in front of the devotee. So Krishna is very merciful. He is put himself as a free. When you go to the shops and if something is on a free, on the shelves, and if it is written, this is free of charge, what would we do? We would run to get it. 99% people would run. If something is free in the shops, wouldn't they? Who will not go for that free, whatever it is, in the shop? None of you would run? I would. If something is for free, I don't think so. I'm at that level that I could not go for something that is free. But here, Krishna has given us his name free of charge. There is no charge. And just by taking his name, we can go back to Krishna. Which Mother Kunti is saying here, that without you, Krishna, our life has got no meaning. So, if it means that we have to go through these calamities for you to be here, I would rather be in these calamities than in this beautiful palace. So I would like to summarize sum up about this verse, that Mother Kunti's life was full of sacrifice, full of calamities. But when the happiness came knocking on her door, when her sons became kings, and when they were eligible to live in the palace, she's asking for more calamities. Because in her mind, the main calamity, the main difficulty was not the worldly calamities. That was the calamity of coming back into this material world. I would like to, for some comments or some correction, because this is the first time I have been here, and I'm sure I have made many, many errors to these exalted devotees they know. So I again beg your forgiveness. And I would like some feedback, please. Where can I improve in future?